Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mark Grody.
TJ Edwards on Dennis Allen having the defense do up-downs before the full team drills. Good old-fashioned up-down.
It took me back to, like, 7th, 8th grade a little bit, you know? Like, you're going a little bit.
Do you think the stuff like that actually worked?
No.
What did you say?
I said, you need a water break. Water is for cowards. Water makes you weak. Water is for washing blood off that uniform, and you don't get no blood on my uniform. Boy, you must be outside your mind.
We are going to do up downs until Blue is no longer tired and thirsty.
I understand it for sure.
I just want you to hear what Dennis Allen said.
You have to pay the toll. You have to pay the price. It's a privilege to be on this defense.
I can imagine that when we get to joint practices and guys are dealing with that type of stuff, there's going to be some guys looking at each other like, really? We're doing this BS again?
Yeah, so up downs in baseball is like when Brad Keller throws an inning, goes, sits down on the bench, and then comes back and throws again. So that's what I'm thinking of.
No,
but it's a very different animal.
Yeah, you're jogging in place and then hitting the deck, and it is
fine.
I was just thinking, like, because only the defense had to do this today. I was thinking, where was Tyson Bagent? Because I could totally see him being like, bro, up downs, man.
I was too busy grinding my absolute face off.
Right, he did like 7,000 burpees. He's the burpee king, right?
1 mile burpee broad jump. Hour and 7 minutes. Let's go.
You're not buying any of that stuff?
No, I'm not. And the reason why I'm not is because usually that's also kind of used as a punishment. So seeing it used as a warm-up is a little bizarre.
Pick him up and set him down, Pyle. Were you born a fat, slimy, scumbag, Private Pyle? Or did you have to work on it? The war will be over by the time we get up there morning, Private Pyle. Move it!
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
It is time to talk with Mark Grody and get our Bears hit one word. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of your Chicago Bears. Hey, Groats, how did things go today for your Bears?
It was an interesting day out here today, Lawrence and Spiegs. Good to see you guys. Good to talk to you guys. By the way, there will be more, a second part to the up-down saga. There is more to report on that. I will bring you that towards the end of this Bears report, which Lawrence called one word. Are you irritated right now, Lawrence? Is it why not the two word Bears hit right now? Is there something in particular?
Just one word. Just one word right now. You know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe it moves to two words.
Every day might have a different vibe, Groats. You know,
always keep in mind that it can be two words and also be bad if you really think about it.
Interesting. This is going to continue to progress. It's like my Bears scale. Lawrence has his one word two word scale, which we're just getting into, guys. Training camp practice day two out here at Halas Hall, and let me give you some news and notes right off the bat here of some things, and I'll give you some of my observations. But rookie wide receiver Luther Burden is 0-2 in those practices, as he has missed both the practices. He was not out there today. Ben Johnson shared with us that Burden is still dealing with a soft tissue issue from the offseason program. Ben Johnson says that he is hopeful that Burden will miss just a few days, as in not a long-term injury. So we shall see when he next appears out here on the field. Also, guys, second-round rookie, defensive lineman Shamar Turner missed practice today with an ankle injury, the severity of which we don't know as of yet. Fifth-round rookie Zay Frazier. Bad day for the rookies. Fifth-round rookie Zay Frazier, the cornerback, missed the workout today for personal reasons, so presumably he would be back tomorrow. As far as the day on the field today, and another hour-plus practice on fields 1 and 2 out here at Halas Hall, the fields closest to Halas Hall, just okay for Caleb Williams. And I may be being generous when I I say that. He was a bit off on a couple of deep balls today, one on a broken play to DeAndre Swift down the sideline. It's important to point out that it was a broken play. The other was to DJ Moore. That was in 7-on-7. And then a couple plays after the DeAndre Swift miss. He missed DeAndre Swift on a short pass to the left. He threw the ball behind him. I make a big deal out of to the left, because of the fact that that was something that Caleb Williams was very specific with us about the other day. He said that I struggled during the offseason program on short throws to the left, and we saw him mess up one of those particular plays. Lastly today as well, Karan Amagaji was the number one left tackle, while Ozzie Trapillo was number one. Braxton Jones did line up again, just like yesterday. Braxton Jones was the left tackle when the full offensive unit came up, and we're just going through their team drills against air. So there's no defensive players, but I do think that that is somewhat symbolic. Play of the day today, Kyle Manungai with what was probably estimated to have been about a 20 to 25 yard run. I think that it was the big offensive highlight of the day here today for the Bears.
That is a really good, complete report from Mark Grody, and we'll get to some sound here in a second. I've been wondering whether it's DeAndre Swift running wide zone and it's Kyle Manungai running inside zone. Like, if that's going to be ideally the way they do it. But, you know, we'll get there and we'll have a chance to think about this stuff. Ben Johnson talking offense is what a lot of Bears fans' ears are going to want to hear in these early days.
And I think speaks. People will enjoy what they are about to hear from the head coach, the Bears, Ben Johnson. As you mentioned, he was asked a philosophical question in regards to how he will run this offense.
You told us when you got here that you were going to run the Bears offense, not the Detroit Lions offense from last year or the year before. But in terms of like run pass split, are there principles you believe in that you want to be around a certain number?
No, there are not. Every game is its own entity. And that's what I learned. I mean, I saw it for a number of years when I was in Miami. The New England Patriots were really the top of the league for so long. And each week you just didn't know. Offense and defense, they just continued to morph and they had their opponents guessing. You didn't know what Belichick was going to pull out front-wise or coverage-wise on defense. You didn't know what McDaniels was going to do on all. He might throw it 50 times. He might run it 50 times. And standing from afar, seeing how dominant that was, I think that's a really good tactic to have. That's something that I would like to do here as well. You know, the elements play a role. Our talent plays a role. Who we're going against plays a role. It all plays a piece into the puzzle, and that's what's fun about each game week.
Man, that's great. That's ideally how you want it to be, and we have to do our part to keep that in mind on the back end of a game sometimes. You know, he'll have a chance to talk about it, but we got to be careful. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, look at the run-pass balance, and we just break down the numbers. Let's think about situations and game flow and how it all dictates that.
And matchup, too. Like, that's, I think, a really good piece of looking at what Bill Belichick does and using the best examples of it and being like, yeah, there was a game where he was like, no, the best way for us to win the game was that crazy like weather game where it was super cold. And what, they run the ball like 45 times or something like that?
Yeah.
Like that's what you have to look at and say, what's our best option this week for this environment? You can still build a toughness into your run game by drilling it. And I know that there are a lot of people within the sound of my voice like, hey, you got to keep doing it to do it right.
It's about rushing attempts.
But I understand where he comes from not you know, tether himself to, we have to run the ball this many times.
The only part of it where I get, I guess, jaded, it'd probably be the right word, is that his predecessors, starting with Matt Eberflus, moreover Shane Waldron, had similar, you know, verbalized similar thoughts and wanting balance, and you know that it's week to week, and you don't just have to follow everything rote. And then obviously things went particularly poorly. Matt Nagy had a version of that as well, and we know how he was like just so pass heavy. Like, he didn't really want anything to do with Jordan Howard or any of, you know, once the whistle blew and the kickoff was made, Matt Nagy did not really care for the running game. So let's hope that Ben Johnson's words are a little bit more true than his predecessors. Speaks, you mentioned the running game, and I thought there was some interesting, a little interesting back and forth here. I'm going to play you Ben Johnson, and then we'll react to that, and then I'm going to play some DeAndre Swift to react to what Ben Johnson is about to say here. And this is Ben Johnson on running back DeAndre Swift, for whom Ben Johnson or DeAndre Swift played back in Detroit.
With DeAndre Swift, you coached him before. What seems different to you about the player you have now versus 3 years ago?
He has always been quiet. He's always been highly motivated on the inside. So there's a lot of things about him that are the same as what they've been. He's not happy with how last year went for him. Production-wise, team-wise, everything-wise, he's really motivated. He's really excited to help lead and spur this team forward. So I don't think I see a whole lot of differences from where he's been, but I see a very hungry individual.
He was really impressive on the microphone last year, I thought, guys. You know, I thought DeAndre Swift, a grown-up.
He didn't use a lot of words, but
no.
he spoke very well about some of the stuff that they had going on.
Yeah, there. I mean, and I can be frustrated by his style on the field at times, but in terms of his work ethic growths, I think the teammates respected him last year.
Yeah, and I will say this. It's funny you brought up the liking DeAndre Swift and hearing from him. Like, I will say that last year, I mean, he was kind of a rough subject. There were times when he, you know, everything was polite and well-mannered, that he didn't like to talk a lot in the locker room. He was not the guy that you could go up to and do oftentimes. You know, he didn't want to do a lot of that stuff in the locker room. And again, not in a rude way, but as I was listening to him today, I was like, DeAndre Swift is like, he's just a very honest guy. He's not to, if he needs to really expand on something, he will, but he's going to give, and maybe not always satisfying, he's going to give it to you straight. And I'm about to play it, but I will say this, like, I thought it was interesting that Ben Johnson just kind of paused a couple of times, like right at the beginning, in the middle of that. I don't know if Ben Johnson knows what to think about his running back's room at this point. You know, it was obviously on Ben Johnson's watch that DeAndre Swift was there, but also on Ben Johnson's watch that Swift was not with the Lions organization. And he upgraded to two running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, both of whom are probably better on the overall than DeAndre Swift. So I just think it's interesting that right now, and the Bears, look, the Bears were going to, they had intended to, if they could, draft a running back, maybe even in the second round of the draft. I think Ben Johnson had anticipated that as well. So I think we're just kind of at a point of, let's wait and see with this running back's room. But DeAndre Swift, what did he think about Ben Johnson saying that he, DeAndre Swift, was not happy with the way things went for him last year?
We didn't win many games last year, so if you ask anybody on the team, they probably had the same type of answers. Like I said, I don't think I produced enough to contribute to more wins, obviously. But a lot of stuff I feel like I can get better at. I'm just looking back, overall improving, just excited for the new opportunity, new year.
When you talk about the frustration that you had last season, how much did that drive you on a daily basis in your training in the off season?
Very little, to be honest with you. My mentality is what it is, and it's not going to change. I didn't produce how I wanted to, but not going to work harder because of it. I already work hard. That's just how I am. That's how I always been. You know what I mean? So I got the same mindset with how I work, with the product will look like when we get going.
You said that you had some things that you felt you could do better. You want to expound on what that was that you felt like you could improve on?
Everything, especially when numbers ain't where they should be statistically, even though I feel like scrimmage yards, they was best of my career, but we won 4 or 5 games. So it's like, can't sit up here and talk about anything positive, you know what I mean? Always got something to work on, always got something to get better at. So, like I said, I'm always, when team success is at a premium, everything else going to fall in line.
I think that this offense and some of the concepts that they have with their run game, I think DeAndre Swift actually fits pretty well. For right now, like maybe next year they upgrade and find someone that, but considering the thing that you hate about him as a runner actually makes sense for them to run wide zone with him. The idea of he's looking for where that cutback lane is.
Yep.
It actually makes sense for DeAndre Swift.
So let's use his strengths and do that. I mean, that's the job of the coach, is to find what his strengths are. Maybe some of my frustration with watching him last year was usage and what they were asking him to do.
Yeah, I think this is actually a better fit, but we'll see. What else we need to know, Groats?
Yeah, guys, let's go last couple cuts here. The always entertaining and engaging veteran safety of the Bears, Kevin Byard. Guys, this is his 10th year. That's a big deal in the NFL. And here's Byard just kind of talking about that, and then we ran with it.
For me, I'm just, you know, overwhelmed with just, like, gratitude. You know, every single year you get to walk in the building on the first day of training camp, you truly understand how much of a blessing it is. Even seeing guys like, you know, as you get older, you kind of see some of your guys that you kind of looked up to. You know, obviously Tyrann Mathieu's retired and things like that. So I just got a lot of gratitude for being able to play this game as long as I have, to be able to play with the guys that I play with. But like I said, just this team, man, we have a lot of lofty goals, and obviously it hasn't been a lot of success in this organization the past few years. But there's no doubt in my mind that we have the right guys in this locker room, on the coaching staff, that can turn this thing around very, very quickly. So that's what we're building to.
What are the lofty goals?
We're trying to win the Super Bowl. You know, I think Brice said it in an interview when he was doing his training camp, but it was true. Ben Johnson wants to build a dynasty, and we want to be that dynasty. We want to be the guys that kind of get this thing started. Myself, want to be one of the guys that kind of build the foundation of that and continue to go as long as we possibly can. So that's the goal. But like I said, man, we have a long way to go to be able to accomplish that.
It's so easy to be a fan of that dude. Really is. We heard about everything on the way out in Tennessee, and I know there was a bumpy year in between Philly, right? Philly, yeah. But here it's like he's an adult. He's an adult. I like the idea of being, you know, a building block for something, because even when you move on, and he will move on at some point.
I think that it's so adult. That's a great word, because he's looking at it and he's like, obviously we want to win the Super Bowl, but it would mean something as a legacy to know that you're one of the people that helped to put in the foundation for the Bears being a winning team.
Yeah, don't you? I'm finding myself thinking back to those guys like, I mean, Lawyer Malloy and those early Patriots. The Patriots were a great thing for a long,
Willie McGinnis.
Yeah, long, long time, well after those guys were gone. But they're forever known as the dudes who helped build that thing, Mark.
By the way, Lawyer Malloy, one of the great Pat Summerall names of all time right there. Lawyer Malloy, because you could really extend that.
So, well, Groats, with Kevin being a 10-year veteran, I would imagine that the up-down thing for him has been a stark change to what his NFL life has been like.
That's why, Lawrence, your guy out at Hallis Hall had to open the door to the up-downs today with Kevin Byard.
It was different. It kind of took me back to, like, high school. It almost kind of felt like punishment a little bit. It's special to me just because of, I think, the way DA kind of, you know, puts it to us. It's like, you know, you got to pay the toll. It's a buy-in, you know what I mean? It's almost like an initiation. And it's special. We had a guy, Alex Cooks, who actually reported here, got released, and actually they signed him in, I think, yesterday. He flew back into town, and to start practice, we all circled around him, and he did his up-downs. Kind of felt bad watching him do it by himself, but at the same time, it's just like, that's just one of those deals, like the initiation of his defense. Like, and then once he finished, everybody was like, welcome to the defense, and got on with practice. So it's funny to me because he was saying the same thing, like, if we get to week 15 and we sign a guy, he's going to do 15 up-downs. So that's going to be, 40 up-downs, which is going to be tough, But no, man, that's just what it is, man. I think that's the type of family atmosphere that DA is creating for this defense.
So it's 40 up now?
40. Yes, 40. It's, yeah, 40 for sure.
Is that in camp, like no more up downs?
Yeah, no. Once you did them, you're good. Oh. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep tall. Cheap. Please. I don't care if you're year 10 or year 1. That thing is real, for sure. And it's funny because in the meeting, we watched the film yesterday, because they filmed it. So, y'all know Big Bill's like 340. I ain't trying to joke with Big Bill's my dog, but we got to like 20, bro. He wasn't even getting off the ground at that point. He was just hand on his stomach, picking his arms up. He was doing, it was funny. It was hilarious.
It doesn't sound hilarious. It sounds exhausting.
It does.
It sounds miserable.
It's really terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think
feels like punishment.
It was nice to know. I was watching the practice today with another reporter from another radio station.
Oh boy, can't do that.
That's right. My guy Pat, the designer. We're watching the practice out there, and he's coming up. Maybe I shouldn't have called him out because he was like thinking. He and I were talking. He was like, you notice how they didn't do the up downs today? I go, yeah. I said, I think that was just like the rollout thing. And he's like, yeah, I think it's because they did something bad. I think they did something wrong yesterday. So I was like, oh wow, this is it. So that's really why I asked the question.
I am less angry about it now that I know that they just did it once. Like I'm okay with that. Like
right, and that's it. That's it. And no, and like, as you heard, the new guy, any new guy that come, any guy the Bears claim this year, let's go up downs, and then we'll play football.
All right. Okay. Now I'm okay with it. Now I actually do see it more as a bonding thing than a trying to do that like before every practice. No, ooh, thank you.
Man, you're gonna lose your mayorship in Worrytown. You start keep understanding stuff.
Well, I mean, we got more information, and that information was good.
I guess it's good.
I got some more info for you guys.
Please,
you want a little more info before nuggets,
tidbits. Yes,
before
please.
I skippity on out of here.
Skippity bobbity.
Skippity. By the way, Spiegel.
Yeah.
I think you've been at this radio station for a long time. I think skibbity boppity is one of the funniest things that comes out of your mouth.
Spiegel,
I love. I really love that whole routine.
Do it just for you.
Wait, it's skippity boppity.
Skippity boppity. Yeah. Skillman and Company.
All right. I'm sorry. Tyson Bagent was QB 2 today. Case Keenum was third string. So they did keep to that, rotating back and forth, which, of course, they did with the left tackle today, as I mentioned at the beginning of the report. We were told today that Jalen Johnson is doing his leg rehab here at the facilities. No update on his potential return, but just to rule out some things and funny stuff that might be going on, it's good to know that he is here in the building. We were supposed to hear from DJ Moore today, but we were told that he had to run home for a personal thing. DJ Moore did practice. He's all good, and he is scheduled to speak to the media tomorrow when, by the way, for the first time in 2025, fans will be allowed in for the first time. And finally, guys, this was my annual event. I'm going to call it an event this year. The event at training camp where all of a sudden there he is. He just appears. He is the ex-suit from The Score. He is Brendan McCaffrey.
Oh!
He was out here today. Oh, yeah. It's such a, you see his smiling face. And I've got nuggets on Brendan McCaffrey. Brendan McCaffrey, for people listening, longtime Score guy. He was a longtime assistant program director with to Mitch Rosen.
Baldy McGrindy for some of you all out there.
Right.
Thank you very much. What was that Baldy McFarson? What was that?
McGrindy.
Let's go to, okay, enough of the Gillette. Lose it.
McFarson's.
Lose the Gillette.
Unbelievable.
I know Brandon a producer McCaffrey. Who did lose it. Permanently.
Because of that moment?
Just, you know, he got really tired of being told what to do and carrying a cart wheel with you everywhere. And then all of a sudden, that cart burned out. That's too bad. No one took a razor blade to it or anything like that.
Oh, wow. Baldy McFarson. Brandon McCarthy, Score guy, Chicago guy, ooh, who now lives in Jersey. He has lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, my God. This guy. Wow, does he look good. I was like, geez, you are just glowing, McCaffrey.
And what did he say? That he stopped drinking Coke again, right?
No, he didn't say that. He did not.
Because that's one of his things. Like, he loves him some Coca-Cola.
You know what's interesting? And maybe we can workshop this at some point in time. I'm always worried to ask people how they lost the weight these days because I feel like people are very personal about that shot these days. You know, that shot, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Shot. A lot of people take the shot, but I don't think people like to reveal that.
Yeah.
So I just don't ask people how they lost the weight.
Some people really need it and it ends up changing their lives. And some people want to do it without any sort of help like that. And
yeah, I think it's personal.
Yeah,
so
very.
I didn't ask, but I'm sure McFarson's would have told us. And here's the real kicker, guys. McFarson's told me that and he gave me the permission that he and his wife are having a second child.
Hey!
Congratulations.
I mean, that's wonderful.
Yep, and they are naming him McFarson, apparently.
McFarson, so, McFarson.
Yes.
It's it's rare to do the double name like that.
Mark Grody with McFarson. It first.
Yeah. That's right. See?
That's right. Give him all the credit.
Wow.
Groats.
Yeah, but he's out here with SiriusXM. So shout out to them and Jim Miller and Jeff Joniak and all the folks who were on top of. Actually, they'll be out here tomorrow, too, if you guys want to intercept McCaffrey.
Yeah, we do. We do, and we should, and we will, and we hope so.
We should put them on the
air tomorrow. I'll be in studio tomorrow.
We really should.
I'm looking forward to transition. I won't be out here tomorrow, but I will be in studio with you guys giving more Bears thoughts with Raheemian Harris tomorrow.
He should do our Bears hit tomorrow. We should have B-Mac do our Bears hit tomorrow.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Chris Emma is skipping a wedding to do our Bears hit tomorrow.
All right. Well, we can do two Bears hits. Two words.
Wait a minute. Emma's doing the Bears hit tomorrow?
Yeah. And he's,
what a good Emma.
And he's skipping his wedding. He should go to that. If I were him, I would go to that.
No, he's going, but he's just gonna be a little late.
His fiance was like, you know what? If I were you, don't worry about it.
That ain't right. His own fiance said, skip the wedding.
You know who else probably a bad sign.
I'll marry the best man instead. I really like him. He's good.
Thanks, Groats.
He was telling me, he's been talking this whole thing about how he can't be here Friday, might not be here Saturday.
Uh-oh.
So I'm really happy to hear that Chris Emma has stepped up and he's doing the 5 o'clock. And maybe you bring in Baldy McPherson at some point.
Yeah, we'll add B-Mac into the mix and we'll get a couple of different points of view. Like today, we had Jason Leisure on and we had Mark Brody on. It works out.
Thanks, Mark.
It works out. Bye.
Thanks, Mark.
He said good day, sir.
I said good day.
Goodbyes are hard for me. Goodbye.
Spiegs hung out with Michael Bush last night. He's got stories. Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath?
Yeah.
Oh, The Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on The Score. Michael Bush puts one in the air, deep left field, all the way back to the wall, and Michael Bush starts the game off with a bang. 20th home run of the year. It's 1-0 Chicago.
What did Alex Cora tell us? Craig Counsell told Michael Bush, you got to swing at the first pitch every once in a while. So what does he do today? Swings at the first pitch. It's 1-0 Cubs.
Michael Bush is having a terrific season for the Cubs, and my partner, Matt Spiegel, had the opportunity to sit with him for a while and talk some ball.
Yeah, he and I did 40 minutes of just one-on-one in front of a small crowd at Wildfire in Glenview yesterday, part of the Baseball After Dark series. Thanks to Wildfire and Huntington Bank did a great job hooking it up. Really cool event. Like, just people at, like, I think it was like 80 people in a room. And
I love those types of events.
Dude, it's an opportunity because players will open up.
They will.
It
gives you a good opportunity to kind of get to know them. And I always found that, like, whenever we would do something like that, like, the show is a little, like, doing a radio show is a little bit different.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
like, that fireside chat type stuff.
Yes.
People are so respectful. They're listening. They're trying to get to know that guy, too.
Yep.
And quiet as it's kept, Michael Bush leads the Cubs in OPS at 910.
For sure. Having a lot of success. I really liked him. Found him a super thoughtful and earnest and kind young dude. He's a man of faith, and that became clear at one point. And he was asked later in the Q&A, like, to explain what God has done in his life. And his answer was amazing. It was like, wow, this is a deep and spiritual and very stable individual. And you could tell that's mattered in his life.
There seem to be a bunch of guys that kind of, you know, fly by faith in that clubhouse. And it's funny because...
Yeah, Matthew Boyd does.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to bring up. When you were out, Leisure and I were talking with him, and I asked Leisure, because Leisure is a man of faith. I said, should we have... Because he talked about faith. Like, he talked about... At the All-Star game, like, what? And I'm like, man, do we miss an opportunity to go deeper on that? And I think about that a lot on whether or not you don't have to have the same faith to understand and recognize someone with faith and what that does
for them.
And I think that it often will paint a clearer picture of who the person is. Maybe not a perfect picture, but a clearer one on what it is that drives and guides them.
That's a very confident and stable dude. Whatever is helping him stay that way is clearly working for him. Got him loosened up, talking about chasing a slider, and he's like, yeah, it's the hardest thing in the world. Hardest thing in the world to not chase a slider. He can sense the circular energy that happens at the ballpark where it goes from the team to the fans and back to the team again. Like, he spoke about that in a really cool way. But then some stuff about the specifics. Two things I wanted to share with you about the players and the coaches. He said Craig Counsell is sneaky funny. He will shock them with funny when they're not expecting it. And he said Ian Happ is also that way. He said Happ will surprise you with sneaky funny. I asked him who else was funny. He said Justin Turner is very funny.
Well, we all saw that.
Uh-huh. We talked about that a little bit. He said Dansby is funny, though I don't want to give him that.
I heard you explain to the audience about that Justin Turner.
I did.
Heard a little birdie that was there told me you had to explain to the folks in the crowd who weren't familiar with the Justin Turner incident.
It's a little awkward.
As Michael Bush tells you about his faith.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, yeah, so Justin Turner, sure. He had these...
And there's like an 11-year-old kid that's like literally right in front of me as I'm doing it. Like,
huevos.
You know how sometimes there's a truck and you're behind that truck and then the truck has the...
I did say how I hoped the TV broadcast would start the next day. Like, you know, guys, that game was nuts.
Yar.
I got a big laugh with that one. So he said, yeah, JT's funny. And then I thought of you, Lawrence. He said, quote, Dansby is really funny, though. I don't want to give him that. That is amazing. So it's like Dansby, he doesn't want to pump him up any more than he already is.
I mean, Dansby's kind of perfect.
That's the thing. So like, they don't want to tell. No, you're not funny too.
You're tall. You're good looking. You're rich.
Yeah.
You're really good at shortstop.
Right.
You have this amazing public marriage to another world class athlete.
You're not also funny.
He can't have all the things.
He said this about Nico, that Nico Horner was the first guy who was warm and welcoming to him right away when he got here, inviting him to his house, come hang out on our roof. And he said like that made him feel comfortable with the team right away.
Well, that's the vibe you get from Nico. And Nico, whenever we ask him about like clubhouse stuff, new guys coming into the clubhouse, you get that vibe from Nico that he is... kind of like, hey, I'll help you out. Like,
yeah.
I got you.
He's
like,
part of that. Yeah.
I don't want you to feel uncomfortable here.
It was really cool to hear that about a guy that we've gotten to know. And then I was asking about Pete Crow Armstrong. And he's like, man, the work ethic, the intensity, the attitude. And I said, is he funny? He's like, he's kind of funny. He's just Pete, man.
Yeah.
He's just Pete. He said this, and it was striking to both me and to Porth, that... He said Pete is going to do this for a very long time. He believes that Pete has all of that mix that you need as a player to do this for a very long time at this level. And like the look on his face as he said it was striking to me.
That lemonade stand thing with Pete was so cool. Like you're just doing it. You're plying your trade as a young lemonade salesperson trying to make a couple bucks and trying to be like Pete. And all of a sudden, Pete walks by, and he's like, hey, you trying to get like me? How much you need? Well, I need a lot, because getting that star in my head is going to cost a lot of money. And there it is.
Pete hooked it up.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
That's really cool. And then the last thing I want to share with you is he was super detailed about all the work he's done at first base.
Like okay.
All the different facets of first base play. Like
it's incredibly hard.
That came up. That exact thing came up, and I was able to share with him and the audience that that's Ron Washington. Not everybody knew that. And he's like, oh, that's Wash in there? I'm like, yeah, it's Dansby's guy. It's like, but he's like, making sure to catch the pickoff throws because they're sometimes really hard. You got to be ready. Catching every ball in the dirt, every throw in the dirt, whether a guy's going to be out or not because you're keeping that extra base from happening. How far to let yourself get off the bag and know you can still get back. A ton of other details. And he said he doesn't always want to work on it in the offseason, but he knows he needs to, and he does because the work he's done at first base is obvious. He's gotten to be very, very good. So... really smart, thoughtful dude. Enjoyed him a lot.
That's very cool. I'm glad that you had that experience. It's you and your element, too. Like, you know, you're getting an opportunity to talk ball, like, one-on-one with a guy.
Yeah, man.
It's different. And it's even different than, like, a clubhouse thing, because you got, like, a few minutes in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So it's hard to build the relationship and then, you know, dig in.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you got a chance to do that and you brought some of that back for us.
We're doing another one in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from last night at the Wildfire downtown.
Be a little easier commute for you and Porth. Hey, y'all got an Uber?
Keep listening to our show all this week for your chance to win a pair of tickets at Wildfire in River North, Wednesday, August 6th, featuring special guest Matt Shaw. Hosted by me, that's Baseball After Dark, presented by Huntington Bank, Life is a Masterpiece, Make Your Money Story a Bestseller, and by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories. The seasonal halibut that they have with the macadamia nut encrusted and the asparagus, all right. Let's go.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
Speaks, when we come back, one of America's greatest athletes is having a struggle that many Americans can relate to. What's next here on The Score?
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know. Here
we
go again.
We do have something that we should have given away in the last segment, Speegs.
Oh, yeah. Remember that thing I was talking about? The thing of Wildfire that I'm hosting with Matt Shaw? You could come check it out. Be caller 6 right now to the contest line at 312-540-0670. And you win a pair of tickets to see Baseball After Dark presented by Huntington Bank and by Wildfire.
Next Thursday, we've got the Radiothon. The Score is again teaming up with the Cubs and Stand Up to Cancer for the 24-hour Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. Danny Parkins is ready, and he's ready to go. It'll start next Thursday at 10 a.m., July 31st. Right here on 670 The Score, Danny Parkins will host the Radiothon, which will feature inspiring stories and many donation incentives. After we get off the air, I'm working on one myself that I think is going to come through, which I am very excited about. So we're going to have a bunch of cool stuff. I know Speegs is adding some stuff to the party as
well.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, going to be auctioning off all kinds of stuff. I was texting with Danny the other day. The stuff that's going to happen during this time slot is outrageous in terms of guests and fundraising opportunities. It's going to be a really, really cool thing. And hopefully some records will get set.
We're looking to go through what we went through last year, which is what? 1.2, around 1.2 million with the match. So let's make some money.
Yep.
Next Thursday with the Radiothon. Okay, so they had two 45-year-olds going a couple days ago. Rich Hill was out on the mound, and Venus Williams was back on the tennis court. She won her initial match at the city championship against a top-ranked player, or not top-ranked, 35th-ranked player in the world. She won in straight sets, and then she had won her doubles match. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
She was asked after the singles match on why she's back playing tennis.
Venus, Venus, Venus. This has been a monumental night for everyone here in this stadium to see you play tennis again.
I had to come back for the insurance because they informed me earlier this year I'm on Cobra. So I was like, I got to get my benefits on. Started training.
She's actually not lying about that because we talked about that about 6 years ago. So you're actually telling the truth. You know, insurance is hard.
Insurance, you guys know what it's like. And let me tell you, I'm always at the doctor. So I need this insurance.
I mean, I don't know what else there is to say.
I mean, I know she made a lot of money as a player, but still, insurance is insurance. And the cost of it, that's crazy. Yeah, but I guess that's how that works, huh?
Hey, how am I still covered under the, you know, WTA? Yeah, you have to come back and play a match. All right, let me get to the gym.
That's why she came back to play.
I love it.
In part. Oh my God.
It's very relatable.
I got to say, Serena is a powerful, absolute badass of an athlete and an incredibly strong personality. Venus is a really, really great tennis player and obviously a powerful tennis player. But my God, she's just such a sweetheart. She's always been such like a gentle and kind of adorable person.
It's interesting too, because like obviously Venus's game was power as well, but there is a, her game is more graceful than Serena's. Not that Serena couldn't be graceful, but like she overwhelmed people with her power. And Venus's like serve and volley game, like the way she would move around the court, or still moving around the court because she had to get health insurance, is really beautiful to watch. And I'm glad that people got a nice moment with her, because if there was no Serena, the things that we would say about Venus's tennis career, and she could have been that too, but she kept running into her sister.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, different kind of game, like a lot more baseline game. Oh, she went to the net a bunch, but yeah, great player. That was very funny.
Like Richard Williams was right, we were all wrong about how he was doing that thing. It turned out pretty well for the Williams sisters. Thanks everyone involved in today's show, and we appreciate a lot of fun that was had. Thanks to Matt Walsh, man. Really love that guy hung in there with us and stayed on the show. Jason Leisure, and of course Mark Grody. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Cubs and White Sox, baby, tomorrow here on The Score.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.